So a few weeks ago, we had our midterm elections, setting a record for spending on a midterm election cycle, nearly $4 billion. Many of us sort of scratch our heads and say, what did we get for all of that? How much are things really going to change in Washington? The system seems stuck. We have leaders who can't work together, can't rise beyond themselves or their interests for the sake of the common good so often. Well, failure of government is, of course, nothing new. It's one of the deep themes, actually, of the Bible, especially the Old Testament. So to understand the readings that we have for today from Ezekiel and Ephesians and then Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, I want us to just go back a little bit into that story. And the first thing I want you to know is that when you read ancient Near Eastern literature, the metaphor of shepherd often means king. So references to shepherd are a way of talking about kings. So think for a minute about Israel as a nation having been oppressed by a dictator king, Pharaoh, right? Forced to build the pyramids in Egypt. Not a very good situation. God frees them from that slavery, leads them out into the wilderness for a while so that they come to trust in God's leadership. And then eventually they move into the land where there are other kings and nations already established. And God wants them to have God as their king. And then, you know, a series of human leaders who will be helpful and governing and doing stuff in the meantime, but God wants to be their king. And kind of predictably, the people say, no, we want to be like these other nations who have kings. Give us a king. And God eventually relents, and you have this cycle of high expectation, right? And then disappointment. Pretty predictable in some ways. So the reading that we had from Ezekiel comes out of a time in Israel's history, sort of moved down the generations to where they had had kings, a series of kings and kingdoms, and a little kind of their own little empire. And then they were forced into exile. And the people to whom that reading from Ezekiel was written were living in exile under the power and oppression of a foreign king. So there's a lot of language in there about weak sheep and strong sheep. They were the weak sheep. They were the ones who'd been violently pushed out of their homeland, taken away, and were living under the conditions of exile and vulnerability. And God promises to gather and restore them, feeding them with justice. So today's Christ the King Sunday, a time to think about leadership and the stark difference in leadership between what we see in Jesus, what we celebrate today, and what we so often see in worldly leaders and kings of various sorts. Jesus' kingdom is a different kind of kingdom than the kingdoms of this world. Jesus' leadership is different. It is a leadership that is trustworthy and just, that comes in vulnerability rather than coercion. Jesus' power is used not to oppress or control or dominate, but to free others. Different kind of kingdom. What does that leadership have to do with us in a world in which we see leadership so often functioning in ways that is exploiting, oppressing, and dominating? So this brings us to our gospel reading from Matthew 25. And Matthew 25 is one of those long chapters that's got a lot packed into it. Jesus is doing this series of teachings or parables. And last week we had the one that was all about investing, right? It was about economics. It was about people being given gifts and resources and entrusted to multiply them for the sake of, you know, the common good and for the sake of the master. And some of them did that and others didn't. And today we shift a little more from economics to thinking about politics, if you will. And this is all happening it's important to keep in mind, just before Jesus himself is arrested at the hands of the earthly leaders, the rulers of his own day, right? So Jesus is giving this message, chapter 25, get to chapter 26, and he himself gets arrested and enters into his own suffering, torture, and ultimately death at the hands of the Roman and Jewish leaders at the time. So all of these passages in Matthew 25, these stories Jesus tells, contain a big element of surprise, right? It's a common theme. There's lots of surprise going on. And the one we have today talks about this kind of separation, this ultimate reckoning in which all the nations come before the king, right? They're all taken into account. And one of the things that strikes me about this is this incredible identification between the king and those neighbors who are in need, to meet the needs of those neighbors who are vulnerable, who are weak, who are hungry, who are sick, is to meet the king's needs. And to reject those neighbors is to reject the king himself. This is, of course, of great surprise to the people in the story. So there's something deeper going on here than simply Jesus saying, you know, do some acts of charity, be good people. There's something deeper going on, something about those acts of mercy and compassion pointing to a deeper reality of community, relationship with God. And this comes in the word that leaps out at me as I read this text, which is family. The king talks about those who are members of my family, referring to the despised, the rejected, the sick, the imprisoned, the hungry, the needy, are members of my family. What does he mean by this? God's kingdom or rule is about the flourishing of all, the restoration of all to right relationship in community. As Jesus says in John's gospel, abundant life, right? Human flourishing for all. And it has both spiritual and physical dimensions to it. It's an ultimate kingdom or community that relativizes any kingdoms or nations or communities we have on earth. So opting out of this reality by refusing to recognize others' needs, others' vulnerability, others' very humanity, is to opt out of this ultimate reality of God's kingdom, God's community. So what do we do, though, with the harshness of it, right? Like the other stories in this passage section of the Bible, there's some pretty harsh judgment going on, right? How do we understand it? Well, two things I want us to think about with respect to that. The first is surprise. Everyone except the king in this story is surprised, right? There's a new way of seeing reality that's going on here. People don't know whether they're sheep or goats until the end. Right? So most of us are probably sitting here thinking, well, I'm kind of a mixture between sheep and goat, right? You know, I mean, on a good day, I'm sheep-like, right? I help the needy and do acts of compassion and mercy, and but, you know, then there are those days when I fail to do so. I, you know, ignore the needs of others. I walk by the people who need help. So, what do we do with this, right? What's the cutoff point between being a sheep and a goat, right? I mean, if you fail one time, right, to meet the needs of somebody, are you then kind of transferred over into the goat category? And bad luck for you. Is there any hope for us in this? Well, that brings me to the second point for us to keep in mind, okay? Surprise is the first thing. The second thing is that this story has to be read in light of the larger witness in the New Testament and the Bible generally about God's forgiveness and mercy. So Jesus is giving this teaching And he's about to be arrested and mocked as the king of the Jews, right? Irony. The sign over the cross, right? Nothing could be less king-like than to be crucified, right? The most shameful, vulnerable way to die in his cultural context, right? They're mocking him. So if that's the end of the story, right, that if just Jesus is just another, you know, well-intentioned, you know, well-meaning kind of humanist who comes to try to inspire people, and then the powers that be inevitably crush him, as happens to so many, then that's it, right? And if we're supposed to kind of imitate him, we're going to end up, you know, more often than not, I think, in the goat category, right? Because we too will fail. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. As we heard from Ephesians as well, all this discussion of power, right? Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus says on the cross, "Father, forgive them," even to the very people who are torturing him. They don't know what they're doing. They can't see this bigger reality more clearly. Forgive. So the ultimate story is actually one of resurrection, of restoration, of community, not based on our worthiness, not based on our getting it all right all the time, but based on God's power and God's compassion for us. The one who is crucified, the one who is emptied of power, is the king. That's the paradox that we celebrate today. It's a strange, strange story, and it is the most life-giving story as well. If God comes to us in compassion and vulnerability in order to reach out and embrace us and restore us and all people, then there is, in fact, hope in a world where it'd be very easy to succumb to despair. So what does this mean for us then in the meantime? When human leaders fail to serve the common good, to meet the needs of the sheep of the world of which we are all one, what do we do? Whether it be bosses at work, political rulers, you know, parents, the calling here is for us to actually be shepherds to one another. For us to participate in this reality that God's bringing into the world, God's kingdom, by actually sharing in compassionate connection with others, by recognizing their needs and recognizing God in them. And that's the dramatic thing about this story. When we attend compassionately to one another, we are attending to God. We belong to this bigger family that surpasses ethnic, tribal, cultural divisions when we enter into that reality. That is ultimate reality according to the Christian story, right? The things that divide us now are all penultimate. And what's incredible about this story also is how simple and ordinary this looks like, right? This is about simple acts of compassion done by ordinary people in daily life. Acts of compassion, of care, visiting the sick, clothing the naked, right? It's not big elaborate schemes for, you know, some big ideology or kind of big transformation of government or whatever. It is simple acts of compassion done in community by all of us. And these acts point to a deeper reality that is the world's future, a reality of restoration and community. So in a moment, we're just going to have a brief time of silent reflection, as is our practice. And in that silence, I invite you to think about spaces in your life where you have opportunity to care compassionately for the vulnerable. Think about times in your life when you've been led into an encounter with someone vulnerable where you have recognized God's presence or God's face in that person. Take a moment of silence, and as we do so, my prayer is that each of us may recognize that we are being caught up in the reality of a kingdom, of a community, of a rule that is ultimate, that is grounded in compassion for us and through us for others, and ultimately one of hope. Amen.